from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitin.
Good morning. Happy Thursday, and thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. Good morning, Ursula.
Good morning, G.
Man, a couple hours already in the books. One more hour with Chef.
I know.
You want to explain to our listeners, Ursula, what's going on with Chef?
Yeah, so we got an email yesterday, and Chef said, hey, this is going to be my tomorrow, so just today, is going to be my last day for a couple of weeks because it sounds like the baby is imminent. Like, it could happen any time, and they might actually try to stir things up a little bit to make it happen. Right, Chef?
Well, that's one way of putting it. So I got to keep it a good buck with you guys. I'm pretty much checked out right now, so if this goes off the rails entirely, just blame my baby brain. I'm kind of in another place, but I love you.
People already texted in and said, oh, great, now the G and Ursula Show is going to be off the rails. No, here's the thing. Ursula's still here. Now,
I should take my 2 weeks vacation right about now.
Now, if Ursula and Chef was gone... Yeah, for sure, the show would be off the rails. So we're going to be safe, but Chef, I'm going to kind of miss you a little bit, man.
Well, we'll still bug
you. I wouldn't say actually, I'll be missing we won't. You guys.
Yeah, I know. You know what? And you shouldn't. And we will keep you. Yeah, we will stay clear because this is such an awesome. I miss those days, even though, you know, yeah, they can be sleepless. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of adjustments happening. It's just such an awesome time of life. And I'm so happy for all of you. And it sounds like Matthew's so excited about being a big brother.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He has no idea.
All right. Let's get to Agree to Disagree, brought to you by Johnny Tsunami.
One of these days, we just got to take off the gloves. Just really go at it.
Okay, I'm gonna tail back to one of our top stories here from Top 5 today. In that Amazon is setting equity goals for 2021, and they say they're committed to hiring up to 30% more women and people of color for senior management roles, engineering, and technical positions. My question is this, because a lot of people have immediate sort of mental or internal pushback to companies when they come out and set specific targets for equity. I'm going to ask you, when companies do this, can this actually make things more difficult for people of color who are working in those companies or who get hired for those positions?
Will it make it more difficult? No. Well, at least it shouldn't make it more difficult. If there's one problem that I have seen just in life, right, there's like this, and I can't believe I'm talking about this. Sometimes with black culture, I've seen this. When we are the minority in a situation, there is like this weird fight as if we believe like, hey, we already know it's not going to be that many of us. So we kind of compete with each other to stay around, which I've never understood that mentality. So the answer to your question, Chef, no, this should not make things tough for those that are in those spaces already.
I'm going to say, yes, it can be more difficult. And I've seen it happen. If a company does it just to check off the boxes and doesn't actually do a concerted effort to recruit properly, recruit talented people of color and women, and are just doing it haphazardly, yes, it can backfire. And then it is only going to feed into that narrative that the company is only doing it to check those boxes and it's not sincere and there is going to be animosity. I've seen it happen. I've seen when you put the wrong person in a position because you think it's the you want to look like you are doing the right thing, but you don't put the actual groundwork into it. So it has to be right. The other thing, on the Amazon subject, they say they're going to do 30% more, 30% more. What they have not revealed, even with this new breakdown of their demographic, is that they haven't talked about what is currently the situation right now. So 30% of what? 30% of, like, you have one person on your board, or you know what I'm saying? So 30% right. could mean, like, barely anything because you have no representation. So I think it needs to be a sincere effort. You have to know that there are always going to be people who will never accept change and who will always feel that it is a threat. And I hope that companies don't listen to those people who will always look for why it's a bad idea or why racism doesn't exist, but those who will try to elevate, who will try to welcome, who will try to accept these changes as something positive that everyone can grow from.
The reason I bring it up, G, is because I'll just keep it a buck here. We still get texts to this day from people who say that you guys are on the air because, oh, clearly you're the diversity hires. And G, I think you touched on something really important about the sort of inner office competition. Ursula, I think women have dealt with this for a lot of years, where if you're fighting for a position and you only see a certain amount of roles in a company, it does create that competition, right? That dynamic that I have to fight for this only spot, and that just really points to the need to actually get more people in those positions so that you feel like you're competing on an even playing field.
I just want to make a clear point. Chef, you say you still get messages from folks that say that
yes.
the G and Ursa show yes. is just a diversity hire.
Well, I tell you yes. what, it took 85 years to put this and make this happen on the airwaves. So if you mean to tell me the only reason why we got on the air is because of diversity hire, that mean you mean to tell me Cairo Radio would have gone another 85 years, Ursula? Is that what you're trying to say? So what happened? Right. So you mean to tell me in 85 years there was not one person that was qualified to get on primetime radio on Cairo?
Yeah.
We just got lucky, huh?
And a small number. I mean, I can count on one hand how many women. Okay, let's bring that up. I mean, I was going to address that as well because I didn't realize, as you know, I don't look at our text messages until you've called through them, Chef. So, if that is the question, I have been here for over 30 years. They had many opportunities. I will tell you what I have done. And there have been times where I've been asked, like, what is your heritage anyway? I have shared with all of you that I have tried to minimize my Asianness, that sometimes I forget that I'm half Filipino because I have never, ever thought to use that as a way to get ahead. I have been here 30 years. Okay, so and this show that we're doing really was, you know, something we're like, well, you know, why don't we try something because we haven't tried something like this before. And guess what? Here's the reward. The show's doing really well. So what can you learn from that? If you get the right people and you actually put an effort on it and give those people an opportunity, maybe, just maybe, they will actually exceed your expectations.
And I can hear the future generation of the Ursula and Long Live Mark family 100 years from now. So you mean to tell me Ursula did 30 years in her career and she decided to do a show with that dude? What was she thinking?
No, remember, it was a member.
it was a member of your old family that suggested it, by the way.
Yes, my oldest son. So you'll not just, I'm going to keep bringing that up. He saw it.
All right, I gotta move on to some lighter news because this is like my Friday for 3 weeks. Y'all have heard about the ketchup package shortage. Well, that has sparked an online gold rush with condiment hoarders turning their stashes of ketchup packets into cash. Get this. One woman quoted in the Wall Street Journal sold 20 packets of ketchup on eBay for $8. I went and looked this morning. Heinz ketchup packets. There are dozens and dozens of listings of people literally, they have their kitchen drawer pulled open, a photo, and all those sauce packets for sale. So, gee, let me ask you. Are those sauce packets at fast food restaurants like the Penn's, the Office? It's totally fine to just snag a bunch and take them on home.
I feel attacked. You know, the two of you got together and you guys must have had a pre-show meeting without me. You probably said, I wonder if G has the drawer. Now, if you're listening right now, do you have the drawer? And what is the drawer? Well, the drawer is that drawer in your house that is filled with packets. Taco Bell, McDonald's, Wendy's, all of the different packets that you get over the time with food, takeout, delivery, whatever the case might be. Ursula and Chef, do you guys have the drawer?
No.
Nope.
The drawer, is, by the way, it is located right next to the refrigerator.
Is it where you keep
full...
all the rubber bands and all that
yeah.
kind of stuff? Okay.
It's full of
drawer.
Necessities. Yes. So why don't you guys have it?
First of all, I don't like ketchup, as you know, so I wouldn't need that.
That's why you like mayonnaise.
Yeah, exactly. So I do the mayonnaise thing, but I don't grab handfuls because I think of it as, I know that's an expense for restaurants. Also, I just don't, we have the condiments at home. I don't like all those little wrappers everywhere, et cetera, et cetera. But while we're talking about this, why is it that every time you go through Taco Bell and they say, do you want hot sauce, then they end up giving you like 30 packets?
Advertise.
So if you need a ketchup packet, if you're like, you know, since there's a ketchup packet shortage during the pandemic, just go for a little spicy and do the Taco Bell thing.
So when companies, small businesses out there, they order swag for their company, you know, t-shirts, coffee mugs, pins.
Yeah, you can't take whole packs of pens.
Right. Pins.
Packs of shirts.
But if you really want to do some advertising for your company, get mustard and ketchup packages.
That's so true.
I'm telling you. You had to think about that for a minute.
I did.
And by the way, I'm Roger, and Fife says, I have the drawer.
Oh.
Yay. We got a lot of... See, I got family members out there, Ursula. I got family members on the G and Ursula show that they can relate to what I'm saying. They got the drawer.
What other things do you collect? What else is in that drawer?
Well, there's two different drawers. There's a drawer down in the kitchen next to the refrigerator and then the drawer upstairs.
I gotcha.
Two different drawers.
I'm just picturing Ursula's mayonnaise drawer, which unfortunately she doesn't have. But I'm going to move on. We're going to go up to Canada, where a Canadian Minister of Parliament left his camera on as he undressed. And inside the Canadian Parliament, all of his colleagues saw him naked on Zoom. He has since apologized, says he did not realize that he had his camera on. He was just changing clothes after going to jogging to get into his professional attire. My question, Ursula, is should someone lose their job because they appeared before their colleagues naked on Zoom?
No. But I had to look a little further into this story. And can I share why I looked a little bit further?
Because you do your research on everything.
Well,
That's why people listen to the show, because you actually research. What do you got?
Well, also because Chef said, you know, by the way, he's a really good-looking gentleman. So I wanted to just confirm. And the thing that I read in this story, the guy says, this was an unfortunate error. I'm looking at him, though, and he says, my video was accidentally turned on as I was changing into my work clothes after going for a jog. So you're trying to tell me that he specifically was right there, right in front of the camera, and that video was accidentally turned on just as he... I don't think it was so accidental. I still don't think he should need to lose his job, but here's the quote that kills me, G. So this is from a party whip. Okay, again, this is Canada. So, yeah. Okay.
Explain party whip. Because somebody listened and might say, wait, what did I come in on? But go ahead.
No, his name is Blop. Quebecos MP Claude Beaufeu. That's why I called him the party whip. Okay. Anyway, it's a member of parliament. Anyway, it says, it may be necessary to remind the members, especially the male ones, that a tie and jacket are obligatory, but so are a shirt, boxer shorts, or pants, she said in French. Actually, it's a woman. And said, we have seen that the member is in great physical shape. But I think, she said, this is a quote. We have seen now that the member is in great physical shape, but I think members should be reminded to be careful and control the camera well.
So, hold on. So let me get this straight. Do you think that people look at this, listen to this story, and view this story different now that the gentleman is considered to be really good looking? Does that make it a little different?
It shouldn't be, but I bet it does. Because I read this and I read his response, I'm thinking that it wasn't such an accident.
So, oh, you think it was on purpose?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because I never even heard
just
of this
so
guy,
you know,
but now I see him.
The guy's name is William Amos. I don't know why you would need that information. Ursula certainly did. I did not tell her. She had to go dig this up on her own. And he looks like a Canadian Ken doll. He looks like a younger Rob Lowe.
Yes.
With just sort of a little Canadian veneer on him. You bring up a good point, though, Ursula. I had not even considered the fact that he was changing from his workout clothes into his work clothes, which meant that he would have had to turn on his camera early in order for this to happen.
Exactly.
This is a wrinkle I was not prepared for.
Exactly. I just don't think it. But should he be fired? No.
You know what just made me think about? I feel sorry for Ursula, I bet you used to. Your kids couldn't get away with nothing. You are an investigator. You can't, am I right?
I like to keep everything straight. I like to keep all. I keep it a buck.
So
you know what? They turned out really well. How's that? You know what?
Yeah,
and we have a great relationship. So, you know, was I a perfect parent? No. Was I always? No. But if we're going to talk about something on the air. I just want to make sure we know more details, and I thought that was an interesting detail.
So should this person lose their job? Oh, sorry, go ahead.
But he's not going to lose his job. He's just been warned, could you please, like, wear some boxer shorts and some pants?
I see the picture of him, and you know what the picture, you know what word I'll use for him? Striking.
Yes.
He's a chiseled man.
He's a handsome fellow. Go ahead, Chef.
All right. So moving on here, last story. Instagram, this is something that they've been kind of toying with for a while. They're going to be letting some users hide the like counts on their posts. And they want to do this in order to ease social pressure on the platform. So you can still like something, but that tally, that count will not be shown. The person will still see it. Gee, would the world be better off without the like button?
Yes, it would be. Yes, it would be. I think that... a lot of social media comes down to likes, whether it's a topic, like maybe you might have posted this and you might have gotten a whole bunch of likes, and then you post that and you didn't get any likes. Or if you post, hey, I'm single, you might get 3 to 4 likes. Hey, I'm getting a divorce, you know, or something like, or, you know, any kind of negativity or something like that gets the most likes, and something positive gets the least amount. Ursula?
I was going to argue against it, and I was going to say, hey, you said that the people who post the social media things would still see the number of likes, but the rest of the world wouldn't?
Correct.
Okay, I don't understand what the benefit of that would be.
It makes it so it's not a popularity contest. So, you know, you're not stacking what you post next, you know, compared to someone else who's more popular.
Huh. Yeah, I think I'm with G in that, to me, I think people have realized the more outrageous and more horrible I can be, the more posts I'm going to get.
Yeah. Real quick, Ursula, I got to share this, guys.
From the 929
says, if I was on camera in front of my coworkers naked, nobody would have to talk about firing. I quit. You ain't never hearing from me again. And I'd probably change my occupation. Hey, oh my goodness, love this show. Hey, coming up next, are you that employee that has a always stellar performance at work? Well, find out why you are getting punished. It's G and Ursula.
Back to the G and Ursula Show, Thursday morning edition. This hour of our show is brought to you by Guardian Operations. So those of us who have been lucky to work throughout the pandemic, here is a question for all of us, really. If you think about it, have you been more productive than usual when it comes to projects at work? Are you the first to volunteer for them, even when you're already so busy and your plate is full? Or when you're home, do you do things like promise to make dinner, but you have just this one last thing you need to do on your to-do list? So apparently, G, there is a term for this, and it might be that you are suffering from toxic productivity.
Okay.
Okay, so this is something that you actually shared from Huffington Post. What used to be known as a workaholic, but now it's this need, especially now during the pandemic, this need to go the extra mile at work or at home, even when it's not expected of you. Do you feel, okay, so I want to ask both of you, because I totally understand this, but this used to be a much bigger thing for me when I was in management, which I know you always like to give our managers a bad time, and you notice that I always try to defend them to some degree, because I do know what it's like when you have a job where there's no beginning, middle, or end. It just keeps going. And to some degree, what we do is like that, too, because even when we're done with the show, I mean, we're all three of us still texting each other because we're sending each other stories, ideas, sharing, you know. So it's kind of a never-ending thing. But it's much more pleasant now than it used to be. There was a time when I felt like I had to show everybody. I was going to outwork everybody to the point it literally landed me in the hospital.
Yeah, that's scary. I think everybody is guilty of doing this, both on both ends of it. And what I mean by that is let's just take your home and at home. Like, there's probably someone that likes doing this and you don't like doing that. And so you kind of defer to that person to do that. And it might be vice versa. And I think that there have been times in the workplace that there's some people that are really good at something and they make it look easy. And it might come easy to them. Well, and everybody else is like, oh, that person will do it. Like, for an example, I'll relate this to our show. The segment we do every single day at 11:06 is called Agree to Disagree, brought to you by Johnny Tsunami. Agree to Disagree. I don't know how Chef does it. I really don't know how he does it. Like, sometimes, and Ursula, we talked about this, when Chef's not here, it's like, okay, we'll help out and we'll kind of put some topics together. My brain doesn't work that way. I don't know how he takes news stories and then makes it a topic for Agree to Disagree. Like, he consistently does that. Now, is that because he's working harder? I don't know, but I'm guilty of saying, Chef will do it. I'm guilty, right? Because I don't know how he does that. So maybe that might be like, well, the reason why I do it is because I actually work at it.
So we're talking about, we are talking about two different things. So one would be the toxic productivity, which would mean that person who is working so hard all the time. And then you're also talking about people who are at work and maybe they are so good at what they do and they perform so well that other people are like, well, I'm just going to let them do it. Is that kind of what you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So that would. We have to deal with both of those. And a lot of times it is that some person who is has the problem with toxic productivity that ends up also, unfortunately, because you're willing to do all that work, then you're going to continue to do that work. And bosses don't really see that you are spending all that time working on it, essentially.
Right. And my bosses don't see the work that I put in, Ursula.
Even when they do.
Why are you laughing, Ursula?
No, it's true. The reason I was, somehow I was going to turn around to the bosses. Well, here are a couple things. So I want to touch, because we actually were looking at two different articles, and I think they do merge. Because one thing, if you are someone who is a workaholic, which now, you know, if you, and what are the telltale signs of toxic productivity? Basically, you wake up tired all the time. You are, don't know when to end. You don't, you can't, you're always doing that one more thing and you feel guilty if you're not doing that one more thing. And then you feel like everyone needs to see all the things that you're doing and you just don't have a good balance. One thing that I've learned is that the only one that really notices is you, unfortunately. And the same thing goes for when you perform really well. I think bosses do need to do a better job of understanding that, you know what, just because that person is getting it all done, you have to, and then you just keep piling on more work for that person because they're going to get it done no matter what. I think it is the boss's job to also understand, hey, I need to have a really good understanding of what this person does so that I don't just keep piling on, right? So that they don't get punished for performing well.
I was thinking about relating this to the home, Ursula, in like the dishwasher or something. Like, you don't do a good job with the dishwasher, so therefore you put the onus on someone else, right?
Yeah, that is true.
Who does the dishwasher arranging in your home?
Long live Mark, always. No, and here's the thing. Here's the thing. At work, I am a workaholic. Right. So I have that. This has been like my MO for 30 years. I get home, it doesn't translate. And I am so fortunate that I have someone who is so supportive and who is willing to pick up where I am slacking, for sure. But I have to do a better job of recognizing that. I have to, you know, so I need to do a better job of recognizing that.
Long live Mark!
Well, I think I'm going to bet that same could be said about Lillian. When you're home, I'm guessing that the work...
Oh, out of time, Ursula. Out of time.
I'm guessing that work distribution isn't exactly even. Oh, you're quiet, crickets.
Yeah, crickets. Hey, coming up next, we take your texts, feedback, and then, of course, Ursula's words to live by. You guys are listening to The G and Ursula Show. It is The G and Ursula Show. Happy Thursday to all of you. It is now time for your texts, feedback, and then Ursula's words to live by. Ursula?
And when it comes to all that high-tech stuff, 360 says, technology gives us convenience, but at a cost. Whether it's our privacy or the price, we pay for every convenience that technology gives us.
425 says, Ursula, I agree with not liking self-checkout. However, as you also mentioned, the art of conversation is dying. I often use self-checkout because the checkers are as personable as a pile of wet cardboard. I sometimes drive further to go to a store I know has good checkers. Customer service makes a difference.
It really does.
It really does.
Yes. 360 says, sometimes self-checkout is great for a judgment-free shopping experience. Last weekend, I used the Target self-checkout to buy 2 boxes of Pop-Tarts, a box of Fruit Loop cereals, 2 bags of M&Ms, and a pack of tampons. No side eyes of judgment for the win. I've had shopping experiences like that.
Yo, that text should have been up there for Mic Drop Text of the Day. The drawer. 253 says, OMG, my kids came home with pockets full of ketchup from a fast food place, and I drove them back to face the manager and return the extra product that they had taken.
Wow. 206 says, my packets are in a container in the refrigerator. I wonder if it's a good time now to sell all of my Aunt Jemima syrup and pancake mix on eBay that I collected.
Yeah, okay. People who got the vaccines early. 206 says, my husband and I were able to secure early vaccinations. We both felt so guilty. The fire station had extras. We all almost canceled. But then both our counselors separately told us, never feel bad for getting the vaccine. The goal is herd immunity, so you both are helping by taking the extras. That made us feel better.
Yep, absolutely. Standardized testing for teaching candidates. 360 says, I'm a Washington State teacher, though I'm a stay-at-home mom now. I took many exams throughout the course of my career that I never applied to my actual job. A college degree is enough, along with a classroom experience that you acquire over the years.
This comes from Tam. G, I am with you, man. So check this out. A buddy of mine just left Washington State to California and to practice dental hygiene over there. He was asked to take the anesthetic exam again because he comes from a different state, Washington, of course. Guess what? We all have taken the same exam administered by the same organization called WREB. Secondly, the dental hygiene graduate, the dental hygienist graduating class of 2011 had to take a brand new exam called Process of Care. This exam mimics the section on the national board exam called the Fundamentals of Dental Hygiene. If you fail Process of Care, you will not have a license. It's all about the money, bro.
Whoops, a Canadian member of parliament got caught in the nude on Zoom in parliament. 253 says, I arrived at an office for a meeting, and while waiting, this executive changed clothes right in front of me while we were having a conversation, and I was waiting. For her, it seemed to be a matter of being expedient. As a married man, I was sweating profusely and counting ceiling tiles. When she finished, she said, well, he should be here shortly. See you later. And walked out the door.
Oh, my goodness. By the way, Ursula, I just want to say.
Is this a real story?
I don't know. But I want to say that when you were explaining what was going on with the Canadian member of parliament, we got so many texts on you explaining that.
Oh, really? What part? So what, were they not happy I was explaining it?
Oh, no, they were happy. Just a breakdown.
You kept saying the member.
And this was, after Party Whip. This is Gene Ursula Show listeners. You know how they are.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? I'm really proud of both of you guys for not jumping there and going there and just letting it go and go and go. So, look, progress, okay? And don't take what I just said out of context either.
Okay. We're proud of me and Scheffler. Hey, thank you. You heard Ursula say it.
Yes.
Hey, let's get to the mic drop text of the day.
And this is on the topic of that drawer that G has. 425 says, I used to work in fast food, and I always dumped extra packets in customers' orders. My bosses were terrible. Most of the customers were terrible, and the pay was garbage. So I figured, this place doesn't pay me enough to care about saving you nickels on sauces. 26 ranch and barbecue sauces coming right up. I would do the same thing all over again if I were still in fast food. Long live Mark, and long live the drawer.
Oh,
my goodness.
Let's get to it. Ursula, your words to live by, please.
And this is a quote from Ralph Marston. Nothing will make you happy until you choose to be happy. No person will make you happy unless you decide to be happy. Your happiness will not come to you. It can only come from you. And with that, I hope you all can enjoy the sunshine today. And Chef, enjoy every single minute you are with your whole family.
It is really, really important that you continue to keep your social skills, because at some point in the future, those social skills will be worth money.
I deal with the customers so the engineers don't have to. I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people.
Now, who's going to do that for us every day, Chef?
Nobody.
Thank you, guys. Love you.
Love you.
Love
you back, man. A huge thank you to Andrew, who takes care of us with the board. I always miss you when you're gone, by the way, Andrew. But anyways, we'll do this again tomorrow. Tomorrow's Fresh Fridays, 9 o'clock. Appreciate you for listening. Love you for that. Be good.